Before I start, I'd like to at least say a few things. First of all, how very proud I am of my wife. She's a good woman. And that's how it all begins when a man, or a woman, when you're looking for a wife or a husband, you wait on the Lord, that's what happens. When you let God deal with your heart, you get your heart right with God, and God gets that other, your spouse, whoever, right with Him, and He leads you together. And that's what happens. When you rush things, you make mistakes, and do stupid things. Who would have guessed after 3 weeks being in Poland that I would have met this beautiful woman of mine? Who would have guessed after being 3 weeks on the mission field I would have met her? Everybody thought I was lunatic. I was out of my mind. But everything fit. And you see what happened. I have a wonderful woman who backs me up 24/7. She's there at home. I know she's there. She's there teaching my boys. And she did a wonderful job. And I praise God for her. I praise God for your prayers, for me. That's exactly what I needed. And she's what I needed. She's my helpmeet. She's my, like Brother Trina was saying, if it wasn't for my wife, I don't think I would have lasted this long without her. So my counsel to you young men and women, wait on the Lord. Let God do the dealing. Let God lead you where He wants you to lead, and just follow Him. And when you let Him lead you, you'll be amazed and surprised what glorious things can happen to you. It's beautiful, beautiful. My wife really today was feeling good until we went to take those pictures. And after that, she just felt like she was going to faint. And she's got a fever, but she still stood up here and spoke. I'm proud of that. Not very many people would, even me. I'm when I get sick, I'm like, I'm dying. Guys, we get sick, you know, we just like feel like we're just meeting detention. I guess my wife's been through a whole lot more. Two childbirths, been toughened her up really that she can't. And I'm proud of her. Praise the God for her. And also, I want, before I start, thank each and every one of you for all of you have done. This has been a wonderful, wonderful experience, a wonderful time. This mission conference has really been a blessing. Each one of you have been a blessing individually, and I will cherish this till next year, till next time I come, and have another blessing. This is incredible. Each time we come, it's just more and more blessings, and I love each and every one of you as my family. We are a family in Christ, but I feel it's even stronger than that. And I praise God for what He has done in your lives and in mine. It's a wonderful thing to serve the true living God when things happen with people who maybe not know each other that well. Of course, I've been raised in this church for so many years and stuff, knowing each and every one of you, we get to know each other pretty well. But what's amazed me to the your faithfulness through all these years. My grandfather, my dad, now me. It's a glorious thing. Praise God for that. Exodus chapter 14. Let's begin. Exodus chapter 14, beginning in verse 13. It says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do love You. We do praise You. We thank You for Your blessings, for Your love, and for Your mercy. We do pray, Father, You do move in tonight. Speak to our hearts. Open all of our hearts and minds, Lord. May we receive your word with humbleness of spirit. Lord, I do pray you give me the right words, Lord. The words that are on my heart. May your word be taught. May your word be preached, Lord. And may it bring fruit and be effective. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here this morning, Brother Corey mentioned this verse, and that's exactly what I've been thinking about for the past 3 months. Was this one of my topics? Was this verse right here? When it says, "Fear ye not, stand still." It's a very interesting verse, just because of the fact where the Israelites are at this particular moment. Here they are facing the ocean, facing the Red River, and they're completely surrounded on either side. The Egyptians come behind them, and what? They're scared. What are they going to do? And they start murmuring, as always. As they always do and always will, they start murmuring. Oh, you brought us out to die in the wilderness. What did you do? We should have gone back. And Moses says, no, look, fear ye not. You know, when thinking about that, they feared the Egyptians more than God. They feared the Egyptians. They feared death. They feared whatever, everything else except God, which was their main biggest mistake, and always has been. And we have also the tendency of fearing everything else around us except the one true God that we're supposed to fear. So here Moses says, fear ye not. Stop being scared. Stop being little children like as if you don't know what God has done for you. He says, don't you remember? We just got out of Egypt. Look at all those 10 miracles. Look what God did. Don't you remember? Fear ye not. But too often we fear. We fear our coworkers. We fear our friends, our neighbors, strangers. We just fear everything else, and we don't accomplish what God wants us to do because we fear. Fear not. That's my encouragement tonight. Fear not. Come on, remember. Remember who we are, on which side we are on. We're not on the losing side. We are the one who already won. We are on the winning side. Fear not. But stand still. Stand still. That's interesting. I really like that, just because it makes you stop and think. Stand still. Stop moving. And they can only, if you use your imagination, just think about the Israelites at this particular moment. Do you think that they were standing still when they were fearing and scared? I'm pretty sure they're walking back and forth, you know, talking and just completely at the wit's end. What are you going to do? Look, stop. Stand still. Take a deep breath. Think about where you're at. Think about. Look back. Remember. Stand still. Sometimes I feel we're too busy. We're too busy doing this and that, just going around, and just our minds are racing just at top speeds, and we just don't stop and think. Just take a breath. You know, that's one of my biggest problems when I started preaching, was that my mind just kept racing, that I just spoke at a million miles an hour, and I just didn't have a chance, you know, for even my own mouth to catch up with my brain. So I just, I got mixed up. So I just had to, you know, slow down. Some people just said, you know, just bring it down a couple notches, you know, just slow down. And then, you know, that has actually worked. I hated the fact, you know, of silence. You know, when I first started preaching, I had silence. I was like, now what do I do? Okay, now I got lost. I was on a roll. Now I'm lost. I guess that's just, you know, the tendency of, you know, as more you preach, the more often you're up, you're still feeling more and more comfortable with the word, and the Lord just calms you down. But I fear, and I'm afraid that too often, we are just way too busy. We are way too busy to notice that we are busy. We just don't even realize that. We're just moving around doing things that we just don't stand still and think. And remember, what our purpose in this world is. It's not careers, as I've mentioned before. It's not exactly even family, which is wonderful. Believe me, I love my family. But that is not the real true purpose. Obviously, my wife is saved. The purpose now of my wife is to teach our sons, and hopefully one someday, as soon as possible, they will be saved. That is my prayer. That is my hope. I want all of our children at the youngest age, because it is a blessing to be saved at a young age. You really avoid a lot of heartache. You really do. I mean, sometimes I wish I had gone through some things just because it didn't put right in the right perspective. But I praise God that I got saved at the age of 6. I praise God. You know, when I was younger, I used to I used to really think down on myself when, you know, these men would stand up. Yeah, before I got saved, I was 25 and I was doing this and doing that, and I just said, well, I got spankings, you know. I used to pull a cookie out of a cookie jar, or I used to say, you know, I didn't write my name on that. That wasn't me, you know, or the different other things, you know, just. But my perspective was wrong. A sin is a sin. If it's from a child or from an adult, it's still a sin. And thank God, God saved me out of that. Thank God, I praise God for that. But our real purpose is for that, to save souls. If that's our family, if that's our parents, if that's our neighbors, if it's the strangers, if that's somebody completely in a different world. That's our purpose. It's not, just stand still. Think about what the purpose is in our life. Stand still. What would have happened to the Israelites if they had not done what Moses said? If they had not stood still? If they actually turned their backs and said, you know what? Forget this. We're going back. We're going to meet Pharaoh halfway and we're going back. What would have happened? They would not have seen Canaan. They would not have been blessed. They would not have, obviously the Lord had a plan. But just think about the nature of man. When you're trapped and your back is against the wall, you try to find the easiest way out without killing yourself. They saw no way out. They said, it's impossible to cross that. That, look at that. That's just huge. We can't cross that. Like an ocean. It's just too much for us. They forgot who they were serving. They forgot whose children they were. The children of God. But what happens sometimes? We fear and we turn our back sometimes. And we don't get the blessings that we could have. We could have been really used by God in a magnificent way, and yet we didn't. We turned our back on what we thought was too hard. Impossible. Oh, there's nothing impossible with God. Amen. Through Christ, I can do anything. He strengthens me. Come on. Where's that attitude? Too often we fear things and we don't stand still. We want to do something, so the only thing we think about doing is retreating. Look, we should not retreat. From what? We are winning. We are the winning side. The war is won. We are just fighting battles. Why should we retreat from what? This logic. Whenever a war is fought, and they write a peace treaty, and there are sometimes minor battles after that. Someone didn't know that the war was over, and they're still fighting. Were they fighting for a purpose? No, the ones who lost were fighting for no reason and dying for no reason. They lost. Why should we retreat from those who already lost? We won. So keep on pushing. Keep on going forward. Stand still. That's what I mean. Stand still. Think about what you're doing and look forward and fight. Stop fretting about every little thing that comes your way. Stop being scared. Just trust in God's deliverance. He delivered them. He will always deliver. He says, I am with you, even until the end of the world. He's with us. Right here at this very moment, He is continuing with us. Like that one phrase that when someone said, you know, I can't remember exactly how it went exactly, but there's someone said, you know, I was walking in the footsteps of the Lord, and I saw that at some moment. There's only one set of footprints in the sand. Where were you? What happened when it got rough? I was carrying you. Those were my footprints. You thought that was yours? I was carrying you. We need to stand still and think about and put things in the right perspective. Our perspectives are sometimes wrong and backwards. Put things in the right order. Where are we? What is our purpose? Stand still and see. When you stand still, you start thinking, you will see something glorious.
you start seeing, wow, things actually work when I let God do the job. When I do what is required of me, and I do what God wants me to do, look what happens. You know, when I said at the beginning about my wife, if I hadn't waited on the Lord, if I hadn't have actually stood still and been patient and said, okay, I'm going to wait on the Lord, and I wanted to get married when I was 17 to a Polish girl I was dating back then. Now that Polish girl is gone out of the church with some crazy guy that was also part of the church, that now they're off somewhere. Where would I have been if I actually forced the situation instead of retreated and said, you know what, I'm going to just think about this for a second. Think about the logic in this. Is God really in this? I had to stand still and think. And I saw. Now you see me today, you see my wife. Beautiful woman. Guys, if you're looking for a wife, you'll find no prettier. The prettiest, I got the prettiest. Those of you who are older than me, that's fine. You think you got the prettiest, you can be wrong all you want. I got the most beautiful in the world. But look, that's what God can do. That's what God can do. God is glorious and magnificent. He is omnipotent. If we just let Him. We just stood still and we could see. We can see the salvation of the Lord. And they saw it. It wasn't too long later that Moses lifted up that rod over that. Whoa. They saw. But what would have happened if they had turned around and gone back? They wouldn't have seen that. They wouldn't have gone on and done what God required of them and God wanted them to do. See the salvation of the Lord. When you fear not and stop, then you will be able to see salvation of the Lord. When you stop fearing your surroundings, do what God demands. You will see. You will see. Preach the word to all those around you. Preach and see what happens. Just do what God demands of you. Don't worry about them. Don't worry. Well, they're ridiculing me. They're just teasing me. They're joking. They're not even serious. Don't worry about that. God will take care of them. You just do what God requires of you. Don't worry about their reaction. Because their reaction right now, maybe they're just they're on defense. On the defensive side, and they're just really not wanting to listen because they know it's true. So they're trying to make light of the subject, when really, you don't know what's going on in the heart. Just do the word. Preach the word. Do what God requires. You will see the salvation of the Lord. Why? This is great. Why? The last part of the first part of verse 14 says, "The Lord shall fight for you." How will you see? Because you will see that the Lord will fight for you. You don't have to do all of this stuff and actually save the people. Praise the Lord! We cannot save anybody. Because if we could save anybody, we would pick the wrong people. We just preach. I would never have chosen you to be the ones I wanted to save. I wouldn't. Forget them. I'm going to do something prettier and handsomer. You're wasting some of my time. But God, no. Someone preached you the word and said, you know what? I don't care what they look like. Their heart and their soul is more important. Beauty is only skin deep. So Brother Lindell, Brother Kincaid, Brother Uncle Billy, you think that Stephen is handsomer. Well, beauty is only skin deep. So, that doesn't count. It's what's inside that counts. That's right, that's right. Good knowing, right? That's the point. The point is, you will see that the Lord will fight for you if you just do what God requires of you. Just do. And you will see some amazing things in your life, in other people's lives. How many times has that happened? When someone has trusted the Lord, done what God requires, and they left up to the Lord. In Mexico, 6 years later, my dad goes back and they say, I remember you. I remember you standing on my street and I was ridiculing you. And now, look at me. Praise the Lord. Who would have thought? So my encouragement tonight, don't worry about right now. Don't worry about exactly what happens right this very instant. Just preach. The Lord will fight for you. He's on your side. Actually, rather, we are on His side. That's the glorious thing about it. We are on His side, on God Almighty. What better side could you have chosen? You chose the right side. You chose the only side that will get you to heaven. Praise the Lord for that. So fight. Preach the word. Do what it requires. And you will see. God is fighting for us. When we think about that, why do we fear? Why should we fear when we know that Christ is fighting for us? God is on our side. He fights for us. Why do we fear? Our bodies, our carnal mind is trying to get in the way. Our old man say, no, that's not right. Yeah, we should fight the old man. Say, you know what? You're an unimportance right now. You're dead to me. Fortunately, too often, even in my own life, we listen to our old man. We listen to what is inside of us. Why do we worry? How many times in the Bible it says, fret not? Don't worry. I mean, countless times you hear and you read in Psalms and Proverbs, fret not. Don't worry. But yet, that's our nature, isn't it? That's our nature. I'm worrying right now about my wife. I'm worrying right now how, I know it's going to be okay. But it's just our nature to worry about every little thing. And when we have to just understand, I was talking to my wife today, I said, why did this happen right now? With the day you were actually wanted to say something, you were preparing for so many, for weeks, and you wanted to say something, and now all of a sudden, she says, you know what? Who would have, we know that God, wanted us out there. He brought the winds. She was encouraging me. It's incredible. She's over here with a fever, you know, and facing a pass out, and she's trying to encourage me. Say, look, it's okay. God let things happen, so let's just not worry about it. Praise the Lord for that type of a woman. I pray that every one of you could have something like that. But that is what we should do. Don't worry. Let God deal with us at every little step of the way, and let's just leave it up to the Lord. Say, okay. All things work together for good to them that love Him. That's one of my favorite verses. It was my grandfather's favorite verse. And it's one amazing verse if you think about it. All things work together for good. Not all good things. Not every single thing that you think should work together for good. Every single situation in your life works together for good. Every single situation works together for good if you love the Lord. That's the key. We are on the winning side, and I praise God for that. Christ has given us the victory completely. He has conquered death. He has done everything that we could not do. He fulfilled the law for us. And we are in Him. Praise the Lord for that. We have won, and we fear. Fear not. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. You know, when all this happens, and this is the conclusion of this, when you stop fearing, and you stand still, and you start seeing things, and you start remembering that Christ, that God is fighting for us, you will hold your peace. You will start victory and arguing, and you say, you know what? It works. You hold your peace. You start, I try to think about it, what exactly this means. We will stop arguing and let God do what He has to do. We just hold our peace and say, okay. You do what you have to do. I'll do what you require of me. And when it all works out, you'll be amazed. It works. It actually works. It's amazing to me when I'm teaching in English, and I talk to people and they hear that I'm 24 and I have two children, and they're like, whoa, so young. In Poland, you don't have children until like 30. They don't get married until like they're probably 30, and then they have children at 35, almost 40. It's incredible. So when I tell them I'm 24 and I have two kids, like, whoa, what do you do? And I tell them I'm talking about, you know, child raising. Say, I have my children under subjection. My children obey me. Really? So look, it's in the Bible. Just read it. It works. I tell my son, go sit over there. Usually, he does it. Usually. I will say usually, because his children are there to make us liars. Tomorrow, I'll tell him, go sit over there, and he'll be in front. No. So I'm going to say usually. But if he doesn't, he knows the consequences, at least. He knows that there is a consequence, whereas most kids don't know. They just think they can get away with it. But the point is, it's all written in the Word of God, what we should do. Everything our lives is around, it should be
surrounded around this word right here.
Every single thing. It's incredible what magnificent things you can find in the Word of the Lord. Teachings. You go through Proverbs. You go through Isaiah. Every single thing in this book right here. This book. You will never reach the full limits of it. But it is so full of glorious things. It's incredible.
Amen.
And it works. And it's the Word of the Lord, and it's powerful. You just open it up, and you just start reading, and you start feeling convicted. You just read one verse. Fear not. Oh boy, I've been fearing. I've been scared lately. That convicts you. If you're convicted tonight, if you have been touched by the Word of the Lord, let it. Don't fight it. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. You see that God is fighting for you, and you will hold your peace. Amen.